by the Spirit of God that He's moved on me. I went back and listened to a message some time ago that I had preached when we was in North Carolina. And I said that I would never pastor a dead church. Am I being recorded? I want to go back and listen to that too. That I would never pastor a dead church. I refuse to. Because I am part of the church. I am part of the chosen church today. He chooses, listen to this, not predestination. He chooses every individual. Every person that is born under these heavens. God chose every person that they might be saved. It's up to that person if they will give their life to Jesus Christ. He knocks on every heart's door, and it's up to that individual if they'll give their life to Jesus Christ. And this morning, as your pastor, I refuse to pastor a dead church because I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm part of the church. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, I ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. When the Holy Ghost comes through, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I want you to understand what happened on the day of Pentecost, on the day when the Holy Ghost of heaven blew through there. We're going to the subject this morning is when the Holy Ghost comes through. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Our Father and our God, as I bow in Your presence this morning, I'm so humbled this morning, Father, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm praying this morning that the gospel plow will be dropped. It'll plow the hearts of men and women in this place and the children as well. Lord, I pray that He would sweep through this morning. And Lord God, that You would allow the Holy Ghost this morning to do what You've allowed it to do. Lord, I thank You that we're not a dead church. I thank You that we're not a church that's complaining, that's all caught up in the things of this world. Lord God, I could care less that tomorrow's Halloween. Hey, today's Sunday. Lord God, I thank You for it, Lord God. I thank You for the Spirit of God. I thank You for the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord God, I pray that You just have Your will and way in this place. I pray, Father God, that You would sit down amongst us just for a little while. And Lord God, that we just get under that feeling of the Holy Ghost where it fills a person up. Lord God, this morning I don't want our tanks to be on empty, but I want it to be on full because that's what Your Word says. Father, I love You and I thank You. And I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. When the Holy Ghost comes through, the Word of God says that on the day of Pentecost, I want you to get this, that on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord and in one place. Don't you ever expect for the Holy Ghost to do what it needs to do in a service if you're backbiting all week long, if you're chewing on people of God and you're chewing on one another. Don't expect to walk into the house of God come Sunday morning and for the Spirit of God to fall amongst believers. It said that they was in one accord. Hey, before they ever assembled, before they ever come to the meeting place, they were in one accord. They had all things in common and they've been prayer and they wanting God to move. And this morning I want you to know the Bible said that they was in one accord and they was in one place. And then here's what the Bible says. And the Holy Ghost of heaven, it came through. And my prayer all week's been this: please come through here this week. Please come through here this week. Please sweep through here this week. There's some things your pastor can't do. One thing I can do, I can call and check on you. I can try to do my best to do that. But there's one thing that I can't do. I cannot fill you with the Spirit of God. There's only one person that can fill you with the Spirit of God, and that's the Holy Ghost Himself this morning. You say, preacher, how will the Holy Ghost come when He comes through? I want to give you four ways that the Holy Ghost of heaven will come when He comes to a service like this. Number one, when the Holy Ghost of heaven comes, He will break through. This morning He will break through. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. And suddenly there came. I want you to know this morning the Holy Ghost, when He comes, He will break through. He needs no invitation. You don't have to invite Him. Hey, the pastor doesn't have to invite Him. The deacons don't have to invite Him. The church members don't have to invite Him. He don't need an invitation. He'll go where He wants to, when He wants to. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning the Holy Ghost, it said, and suddenly there came. I see, number one, He needs no invitation, but He needs no instructions this morning. You don't have to invite Him, and you don't have to instruct Him on how to come. I want you to know this morning, He don't need a welcome. Can I get a witness? Hey, He don't need an entrance. He doesn't need a door. You don't have to unlock the building for Him to come in here. The Holy Ghost of heaven, He'll go where He wants to, when He wants to go. I see, number one, He needs no invitation. He'll break through. I see He needs no instructions, but He needs no identification when He comes. Hey, when He breathes in on a service and He comes through, He'll break through. You can be sitting there thinking nothing's going on, thinking you're not getting one thing, thinking everything is okay, and Brother Jerry Gabby, He'll breathe on the back of your neck. Hey, He'll breathe to your heart. Hey, He'll breathe to your soul. Hey, He'll breathe to your Spirit. He'll breathe right where He needs to do. Friends, this morning it said, and suddenly the Holy Ghost come. Hey, what He do, preacher, when He come? I want you to know the reason He don't need no instructions, He don't need no invitation, is because He didn't come from us, but He came from above. Amen. The Bible says that suddenly a sound came from heaven. This morning, what would you do if heaven opened up? Lord, open up heaven. Please, Father God, in Jesus' name, open up heaven. Lord God, get us out of our callous and no-caring ways, Lord God. Get us out of complacency, Father. Lord God, get us out of that and get us under the spout where the glory runs out. Lord God, we're in the book of Acts here in Acts chapter number 2, and You said that the Spirit would come and it would set among Your believers. This morning, Father, I pray that it would break through. Lord God, I pray we'd get a breakthrough this morning. Father, I pray for that mama this morning that needs a breakthrough. Father God, that one that's got a wayward child, Lord God, I pray You'd let it break through on him or her. Lord God, the marriage this morning that's on the brink, Lord, I pray You'd let it break through. Lord God, I pray we'd have a breakthrough this morning like never before. Father God, I'm praying this morning that You would do what You do in this place. Lord God, move on Your people this morning, Father. Move on us this morning. Give us what You want us to have. Show us in the Scripture this morning what You want us to see. And Lord God, get us out of that place that we're in and let us get on fire for You again. In Jesus' name. I see, number one, there'll be a breakthrough. But I see, number two, the Holy Ghost, He'll blow through. Not only will He break through, I seen that ball, y'all blowed up. I said, glory to God, not only will He break through, but He'll blow through. Look what I'm talking about this morning in Acts chapter number 2, in verse number 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Rushing mighty wind. There's no control on Him. This morning you have no control over Him. He's like the wind. He's a rushing wind. He's a mighty wind. He's like a tornado. He'll tear things up when He comes in. He'll tear up your plans. He'll tear up your programs. He'll tear up the positions that you hold when the Spirit of God comes into a service. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter number 3 and verse number 8 this morning. I want to show you this in the text. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 8, when the Holy Ghost comes through a service, number one, He'll break through. He'll break through that service like you've never seen. But number two, He'll blow through. I remember, and I say it all the times, when He used to blow through this place. Friends, I want you to know, I don't want to have to say, I remember when He used to blow through. I want Him to blow through. Amen. Every time that we assemble together, I want that Spirit of God to blow through. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. That means it blows where it wants to. And I want you to get this, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes from. Friends, I want you to know that day that I got saved, I couldn't tell where it was coming from. I couldn't tell if it was coming from the north. I couldn't tell if it was coming from the south, the east, or the west. All I know is it was all around me. That spirit had me sucked up in there. And this morning, I want you to know the Bible says it blows where it wants to, and you can't tell where it comes and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit this morning. When that Spirit gets on a believer, I want you to know this morning, it'll blow through like a mighty rushing wind. Amen? But I see this morning, not only will he break through when he comes, not only will he blow through, but he'll burn through some things. He'll burn through some things. I am glad to report this morning. I can't tell you what I'm under this morning. I'm under no pressure, but I'm under a promise of the Holy Spirit that he would meet with us this morning. Tomorrow is Halloween. Tomorrow's Halloween. Trick-or-treat time. Dressing up time. Candy time. But tomorrow won't be Halloween for me like most folks. Tomorrow will be a day on my calendar that I will remember the rest of my life. 42-year-old I am. 42. But I have a dot on my calendar that stuck with me, will stick with me the rest of my life. It has scarred me. It has scarred my wife. It has scarred my daughter. It has scarred my family. And it will stick with me the rest of my life. You say, what I do don't hurt nobody. Yes, it does. When you don't think what you do don't hurt nobody, doesn't hurt anybody, you remember this, it always affects everybody around you, even your family. It'll affect everybody. August, I want you to know, October the 31st is tomorrow. And October the 31st, 2003 will be a day in my life that I will never forget. Satan won't let me forget it. He keeps it on my mind and he keeps it on my memory every day of my life. It is my testimony. It is what I preach against. It is what I stand against this morning. On that day, I want you to know, I was at my home and I was living my life. I had the life. I owned what I wanted to own. I do what I wanted to do. I went where I wanted to win. Money was no issue. I had plenty of money. Money was no issue. I didn't have one bank account. I had three bank accounts. I had money piled up in a microwave. You listen to me this morning. I had so many thousands of dollars piled up in an old aluminum toolbox. You'd raise the lid up and it looked like you ain't never seen. There was $100 bills lined in that thing. You know how deep a toolbox is? They was lined up. But you listen to me this morning. It wasn't honest money. It was dirty money. And that night I had been told all week long that you need to straighten up, that you need to get on the right path, that you need to do what's right. And I kept meddling the way that I wanted to meddle. And I kept doing the way that I wanted to do. And that evening, my wife, she had told me she was pregnant. And she said, we need to go get some baby clothes. And that night we left. And we went to the Walmart in town. And we went to get some baby clothes. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. As we walked around that Walmart and we kept walking around, I seen this guy. He was following me, but I didn't know who he was. But I want you to know, later on, I come to find out, when we got in that line to check out, I told my wife, there were some kids in front of us and they had toilet paper and they had all kind of stuff. And as they started going out the store, I said, somebody's going to get in trouble tonight. They're going to be rolling somebody's yard and somebody's going to get in trouble. Hey, when we walked out in the parking lot, there was blue lights everywhere. There was the police everywhere. And I said, somebody's going to jail. Not knowing that night it was going to be me that was going to jail. Not knowing that night on Halloween night, it would change my life forever. I want you to know, when they picked me up and they put me in that car and they took me in for manufacturing, I had a manufacturing crystal meth on my charge. Oh, Satan won't let me forget that. He won't let me live that down. I want you to know that wasn't the Spirit of God. That was not God in there. It was Satan all in it. And as that night come to a close, and as that night come to end, I thought my life was over. I thought it was doom. I thought it was gloom. I thought I would never be a nobody. I thought I'd never get nothing in life. I thought that was the end. And I want you to know, I'm not going to stop there. But God, amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost, I want you to know, I went from 03 to 07, and everybody I come in contact with, they wanted to make sure I was doing what was right. They wanted me to go to church. They wanted me to live right. They wanted me to do right. But friends, I want you to know, you can want to do it all you want, but until God comes in, you won't do it. And I want you to know, you say, you sure are upset about it. I ain't upset, I'm happy. Satan's a loser, and he's a liar, and he's limited. He ain't got much time left. And as I got studying this about that mighty rushing wind, I'll never forget August the 27th, 2007. 2003, on October the 31st, I thought my life was over. I thought what I had built up was gone, and it was. All the money that I had, all the things that I had, everything I had, I lost. It got taken away. The only thing that didn't get taken away from me was my lovely wife and my soon-to-be daughter that was going to come sometime. Can I get a witness? And I thought everything that I had been taken away. And I know what it is to live like that. I know what it is to live under condemnation and shame and guilt. And everybody knows what you did. And instead of helping you, they'll point a finger at you. I know how to live there. I know how to be there. But I know what it is when you walk into an old-timey, Holy Ghost-filled Baptist church. I'm not talking about a dead Baptist church. I'm talking about one that the Spirit of God is alive in. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, you act like you're Pentecostal. Man, I know what happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I know what happened when I got in field that night that I got saved. He saved my life and He changed me and made me new. Folks, you listen to me, that night that I walked into that service and I walked in there that night, I got high right before I went. I had lied to everybody under the sun. And you may be lying this morning to everybody under the sun. I had lied to everybody I could lie to. I had done everything that I could do to lie and cover up. I walked into that service that night. You listen to me this morning. When I walked in that night and I went in, I want you to know that preacher got up and he got to preaching. And I looked around that room and nobody was excited. Nobody was shouting. Nobody was screaming. Nobody was doing nothing. But that preacher was letting her eat, son. He was up one side and down the other. And as I said, about five pews from the back, you say you tell this all the time. When something's good happened to you, you're going to tell it. I sat five pews from the back and he got to preaching and the Holy Ghost broke through on my life. I didn't invite him, Brother Brad. I didn't instruct him on how to come. I didn't know who he was when he come, but I knew it was something on me that I'd never experienced before in my life. As I sat there in that pew, he started mashing on me. He started pushing on me. He started convicting me of where I was and what I'd done and that I needed a Savior in my life, that I needed something bigger than me. And as he kept mashing me down there, my wife looked over and she said, "Are you okay?" And you know how us old fat boys are. I was done that number right there. I didn't want to talk, man. Tears was flowing. She said, "Are you okay?" I thought I done got a hold of a bad batch. Man, this dope's done got me messed up. What I did before I come to church, it's done got on me. I can't get over it. But it wasn't long that I want you to know I realized it wasn't what I'd put in me. It's what I didn't have in me yet that was making me feel that way, Brother Roy. And then that night, I want you to know I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I needed a breakthrough. And the Holy Ghost, He blowed through on my life just like on the day of Pentecost. He blowed through on me that night. Hey, I want you to know that place was full and not that nobody got saved that night but me, because it was my night to be born again. Man, He blowed through that night, let me tell you. And when He blowed through that night, excuse the slobber coming out, I can't help it, amen. When I get excited, slobber goes, amen. You don't believe me? Set me down in front of that Christmas tree cake, son. I get to slobber like you ain't never seen me wanting some of that ice cream with a Christmas tree cake mixed up right in the middle of it. Can I get a witness? But that night, let me tell you, not only did He come down and He broke through, I didn't invite Him to come. I wasn't looking for Him. I didn't invite Him, Brother Eric. I didn't invite Him to come. I didn't want Him to come. I wanted to live my life the way it was. But that night, He broke through and He blew through on my life. And He burnt me like never before. He said it was like a cloven tongue had set down on Him. You know what? This morning, I'm not really that concerned about speaking in tongues now. I'm worried about controlling my tongue. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another." Tell the truth. A lie is not love. The truth is love. And as I got down in that altar that night and hit the Holy Spirit, I'm talking to somebody this morning. I wasn't even going to go here. I've battled this all week not to go down this road. As I got in that altar that night, though, I didn't take my wife with me. I didn't take the pastor with me. I didn't take nobody. I got in that altar. And as He had come through my life, I want you to know He'd done a change. He done a change in my life. That night I asked Jesus to come into my life and He saved me. Instantly He saved me. Right there, suddenly, that's a Bible word, He come upon me and saved me, washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I learned something about that night not too long after that. We're going to get on with the text. We're going to go to the house. Number one, when the Holy Ghost blows through, He'll break through. He don't have to have your permission. He'll convict who He wants to convict. He'll call who He wants to call. And He'll chastise who He wants to chastise when He wants to do it. There's not a man in this room, Brother Billy Rogers, there ain't a man in this room that can whoop me like God whoops me. Y'all hear me? Ain't a man big enough in this room. Brother Billy, can I get a witness? Ain't a man in this room big enough to whoop you like God whoops you. Brother Eric, there ain't a man in this room big enough to get on you like the Spirit of God will get up on a man. My last thing is this, not only will he blow through, break through, blow through, and burn through, but he'll burn you. But he'll bother people when he comes through. He bothers them. Preaching like this bothers folks. Why? Because it tears up what their plans are, what they plan to do in life. Their program that they have is out the window when God comes in the scene. See, preacher, how do you know that? Number one, I know that the Spirit of God is a drawing spirit. He'll draw a man. John 6:63, Brother Dillon, if you'll put that up for me. John 6:63, I want you to get this morning. He's a drawing spirit. And he said on the day of Pentecost when they came, he drew some men. Look what the Bible says. It is the Spirit that quickened. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that same Spirit, I know this to be a fact. That same Spirit will draw some. It'll draw all. But in the same service, and it may be drawing you, it may be dividing me. That same Spirit, if I won't get under the draw of that Spirit and let that Spirit draw, it'll make me draw back and divide. Don't want nothing of that. People here in the book, you see in verse number 6 of the text, he said, and some was confounded, or they was troubled at what happened that day on the day of Pentecost. They was confounded or they was troubled. When you start talking about when the Spirit of God draws you, there's some people don't have a clue what you're talking about. This morning, if I didn't have the Spirit talk to me every day of my life, I'd be scared to death. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He talks with me every day of my life. Tomorrow will be 19 years. I thank God I'm not who I was 19 years ago, baby. Well, I thank God that you ain't got a husband who's been dabbling and dibbling all over everything. I thank God that you got a husband that when God got a hold of him, he got a hold of him. And he changed the house. He changed her home. He changed everything about it. I got studying this message and went into Kaylee's room. She's doing homework for college this week. And I went in there and I said, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you the sermon I'm going to preach Sunday. I got to tell you something. She's like, okay, what is it? I said, tell me a miracle you've seen God do in our family. Well, Daddy, I seen a bunch. I said, no, I don't want to hear about a bunch. Tell me a specific miracle you've seen God do. And she started telling me miracles that she's seen God do. Daddy's going to tell you something this morning. If God's done something in your life, you need to let your kids know about it. He's ate me up on this week. If he's done something in your life, daddies, you need to let your kids know about it. Do you remember when he fed 5,000? He asked his disciples, how many are they? He said, there's 5,000, not counting the women and children. Why did he say that? Here's what he said. He said, that miracle will not do them a bit of good if they don't know about it. Won't do them a bit of good if they don't know he can feed them too. As I got in that room and heard this week, I said, tell me about something good God's done for us. Tell me about something good, a miracle you've seen God do where you knew mom and daddy couldn't afford it. There's no way God, daddy and mama could make it come together. But we prayed and we got on our knees as a family and the Spirit of God answered and he sat down on that place. I'm going to share this, and I don't usually share this with a Sunday morning crowd, but I will. I'm going to give you one miracle. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you one worldly and one spiritually. How's that? And you just be the judge if the Spirit of God will fall. My daughter wanted a car. And if you ever go over there, and listen, if you can afford it, there's nothing wrong with this. So don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me if you can afford it. I'm talking about when the Spirit answers, when he blows through. He breaks through, he blows through, he burns through. And he answers what you need him to do, he'll bother you. If you ever go to Sullivan High School and look at them cars in the parking lot, they're over millions of dollars sitting there. Every car in that parking lot is just about brand spanking new, son. There's a money tag on it. Back when we was in school, you got there the best way you could. If your buddy had a car, you jumped in, amen? You didn't pay him no gas money because if he can afford a car, he didn't need no gas. You hear me? And I told her, I said, baby, I know you want to keep up with the Joneses and your friends. And I know you do, baby. But daddy and mama, we can't afford that. Mama don't drive a new one. Daddy don't drive. You can't, baby. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do, though. We're going to pray about a car. Brother Bill and Sister Angie sitting right back there, they can be the honest God witness on this. I said, Brother Bill, if you ever get ready to sell that car that you got, let us know. We'd be willing to buy it. I said, just think about it, pray about it, and when you get up a number, you give us a call. That night, that day, Watt rocked on, and you know how kids are. You think we're going to get it, Daddy? I said, I don't know, baby, we're going to get it or not. Brother Bill's pretty tired, I don't know. He said, but there is a God in heaven, amen. Somebody's getting this morning. You think I can't get out of what I'm in? You pray to God, and He'll get you out of it. There is a God in heaven. And I didn't go out there and get one of them 50-book Bibles I got in my office that just lays there. I went and got this old King James Bible. This old leatherback Bible, and I went and got it. And me and her mama sat down on the couch. We looked up the book value of that car, and we looked up everything that was there, and I said, I don't know if we can get it or not, but we'll just do what God calls. We took this Bible, and we opened it up. We prayed and we wrote down exactly what we'd give for that car. I hope you're getting this morning. That when He breathes on you and when He blows on you, it'll burn in you. We took that and put that right there in the middle of that Bible, and our agreement was we wouldn't give them a penny under what come in. If that price was a penny under, we wouldn't take the car. If it come in a thousand under, we wouldn't take it because it wasn't of God. Well, you're going to miss a blessing. Bill and Angie wasn't the one that blessed me. It was God. He used them. You got to get that mindset. I don't draw my check from this church. I draw the check I draw from heaven. You didn't call me to be your pastor. God called me to preach. And this is where He put me. Brother JD, they didn't call you to be. You're called to be a youth pastor. And this is where God's put you. Now we're all on the same page. We took that and we stuck it. I love y'all. But if I ain't careful, I'll get looking around who's in this room and I'll be like, I can't preach on that because I know that. No. I stuck that in that Bible, and if it comes a thousand under, we won't buy it. If it comes a penny over, we won't take it. And we closed that Bible. My phone lit up, Bill Hartley. Ring. I said, come on. She sat down there on the couch. We put her hand on that Bible. I said, Brother Bill, did you come up with a price? He said, yes, sir, we sure did. I said, all right, what is it? Had him on speakerphone. And he called that price out. Brandy Mills, was it dead on the money what was in that Bible? Say it where they can hear it. Yeah. When we hung up, there sat a 15-year-old girl, they ain't even got her permit yet, had seen the miracle in the hand of Almighty God. Baby, Daddy can't give you what the other kids has got. Daddy can't give you whatever. Daddy can't. But I got a God in heaven that can supply your need. Let me tell you another miracle that I've seen in my life that God met, that no man can meet. When the Spirit of God broke through, Sister Jenna, he breathed in like a fresh air. And he burnt through that what we couldn't see would go. It bothered people around, but it sure blessed us. We was outside playing kickball, and Brandy says, let's go to Sassy Frass. We'll go to Sassy Frass. I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me just a minute. We come back home. We kick ball again. I'm rolling it to her, and she kicks it, and she says, I think I'm having a baby. Do we need to go to the doctor? Well, what if I'm not? I said, well, you're pregnant. There's one coming sometime. We'll be okay to go on. We get over there, and we see Robin, Nick Cagle's wife. And she says, I need to call the doctor. She calls the doctor in. He comes in and, listen, don't worry about what I'm fixing. Say your kids know more than you think they know anyway. Just get on their phone. Just get on their phone and you'll understand they don't know a whole lot more than I could ever preach against. And as they checked her, that doctor said, oh no. And I said, what is it? And instead of water, it was nothing but blood. And he said, we have got to hurry. We have got to hurry to make sure we save both of them. We come expecting a family of four, and it looks like we may leave with a family of three or two. They get us out of the way, and they start working on Brandy there, and they get her all fixed up, and I look into her eyes, and she's squeezing my hand, and she said, I'm hurt. Pray. You ever been where you couldn't pray? You You ever been so burdened on your heart you couldn't pray? You couldn't text, there wasn't a group text big enough to text out. When they rolled my wife and soon-to-be son out of that room and me and Kaylee was there, I said, baby, let's pray. Me and my daughter got on our knees there in that old dirty floor at Amory Hospital and we started begging the God of heaven that he'd allow the Holy Ghost of heaven to break through in that delivery room, that he'd blow the Spirit of God through that room like never before, and he'd burn through there like we'd never see. It didn't matter what it bothered or what it messed up. God, you sat down on my family. Right? I need you. There's somebody in this room right now. You need to be in this altar because only God can fix your family. Only God can fix the mess that you've made, and only God will set it straight. And we got down there and we got to pray and we was hanging on. Man, I got to squalling, she got to squalling. We got begging God that he would just let the Holy Spirit just minister to her in that room. We got done praying. We come up in there. My sister called. I was squalling on her, and she's trying to tell me it's going to be okay. Chess said, I got mom in the car. Just calm down. I was squalling like a baby. I was broke. My life was hanging in the balance. My family, what I love, was hanging in the balance. And I need a touch from God. It wasn't but a little bit. They rode that little boy in there. They brought him in there in his arms and set her down, set him down. And I said, you got to know I said this. I said, is that nurse? He said, yeah, he's yours. Boy, I started breathing. You said, well, you was out of the fire, preacher. Oh, no. I turned around and I said, what about his mama? You see, when one person in your family gets out of fire, don't you forget about the next one that's in it. There's somebody here this morning I'm talking to. You've been in the fire. Your family's been in the fire. And you need to get out of it. And you need to drag them out of it. And they said, she's doing fine. We're going to sew her up and we're going to get her back in the room. When they brought her in that room, let me tell you something. We had one of the biggest Holy Ghost fits you ever seen in your life. The doctor said, I'm going to try to save them both, but I can't promise you nothing. You know what he told me right then when he said that, Sister Megan? It's out of my hands. You work in the medical field. You know, you see people all the time. It's out of my hands. If it's going to work, it's going to have to be God. There's some of you in there this morning, you say, hey, it's out of my hands, God. What you going to do with it? You've been fighting it. You've been holding on to it. You know what they did on the day of Pentecost, how they got the Spirit to fall? They didn't do nothing. They just got in one accord. They said, hey, I'm going to love you, Brittany, no matter what. I'm going to love you just the way you are. No matter what you do and I don't agree with, I'm going to love you. We're going to get in one accord and we're going to get in one place and we're going to let the Spirit of God fall. Folks, if this church will ever get to the place where we're going to get in one accord and we're going to love one another and we're going to let the Spirit of God fall, I promise you, he will fall. And he will minister to every need we have. I just wonder who this morning that needs a breakthrough. Man, you're just tired. He said, preacher, I need a breakthrough. I don't know how long I can keep doing this. I just need a breakthrough. I wonder who this morning says, preacher, man, I just need him to blow on me. I need that Spirit just to blow right on me when he's passing by. I wonder who in here this morning says, preacher, it's going to take a little bit more than the blow of the Spirit. I'm going to have it burn me when it comes by. Let me know that the Spirit of God's right where it needs to be in my life. And then for some of you in here this morning that this has bothered, you need to let that Spirit draw you and not divide you and push you back. You need to let it draw you. Soften that heart. Soften that mind. Soften it. Just let him draw you. Let him draw you. He's a gentleman. Let me tell you this right here. He won't come in you unless you allow him to come in. But while he was beating on me, he wasn't very much of a gentleman. He was beating my head in, letting me know I was in the wrong and I need to be saved. And since I've been saved, he beats me in the head and lets me know when I'm in the wrong and I need to get it right. If you're in here this morning and you need the Spirit to pass by you, he's here and he's willing. And he's able. Whatever how you need him to pass by, I promise you, he'll break through whatever you've got going on. He'll blow through. He'll burn through. And you walk out of here and say, hey, it don't bother me no more. Spirit, you do what you need to do. It is the Spirit that draws. The flesh profiteth nothing. Father, I love you. Lord, I've been all over the place, but Lord God, you sent me there. Lord, as I got in that study this week, I got thinking about the day of Pentecost and how so many people confuses that. How so many people confuses that tongue, that confuses that language, confuses all that. The greatest thing was, Father God, that it came. Lord God, that it done what it was supposed to do. The Spirit always does what it's supposed to do. And that's to point people to you. Lord, this morning, there's somebody under the spout right now that just needs a breakthrough. Father, they need a fresh breath on their life. They need the cold, the calloused, and the calamity in their life to be burned off and that fresh new zeal, revival brought back. And Lord, for the one that it bothered this morning, it's so quiet in here right now. Father, we're a loud church, and I know that. But I know when the Spirit sits down and it gets quiet. Lord, whoever it's bothered this morning, they say, just touch my family. touch what I need. Father, I pray you touch them this morning in a mighty way. Lord, I pray you set back in order what needs to be in order. And you straighten up what needs to be straightened. Lord, drop the gospel plow in here and plow up hearts. Plow up my heart. Give me a fire. Give me a zeal back where I need to be. And that I rely on the Spirit of God. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.